Husker fans, welcome to episode 259 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
It's almost time for kickoff. In this week's episode, we preview the 2022 football season.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rudy with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
It's good to see you, Mike.
Hi, Justin.
How you doing?
I've seen you a lot more recently than our listeners have heard us.
Right, right. We stay in touch.
Yeah, but it is good to see you.
It's great to see you.
I was almost ready to say that SOS Heating and Cooling is also a new sponsor for us this year, but that's not the case.
They don't need us.
Yeah, that's true.
Millions of views.
We would probably ask for less money, but anyway.
Mike, are you excited about the football season just around the corner?
It is such an odd thing that it's here already. I think interestingly for us, surprise, surprise, everybody, we're back. In the last 7 years, we've continued to podcast throughout the summer.
Right.
And so it was always in front of us. Mm-hmm. And this year, Justin and I took a little break. And, you know, I got to just enjoy being, I don't know what you would call it, off the clock as a podcaster, you know?
Yeah.
Just took a little, I guess you could call it, it's our 7-year sabbatical.
There you go.
For the Husker Pod.
I like that.
Rediscover who we are in the summertime. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. I think it's awesome that we get it a little bit earlier than most of the country. Our favorite team is playing another week zero game this year.
Yeah, I forgot that we did it last year until listening to Scott's press conference today, recording on Sunday, August 21st. Mike, do we want to talk about how this show might be different moving forward than it's been in the past?
I suppose we could. One thing, you know, longtime listeners might notice is that it's going to be a little bit more raw. Yeah, and I use the word raw not like in the sense that it's going to be like any less family friendly than it's always been. I mean in the sense that Justin and I, we had some discussions over the summer about, let's be honest, whether or not we wanted to keep doing this thing. And we kind of came to terms with the fact that, yeah, we do. We do want to keep doing this. But we want to kind of take a step back from the things that made it feel more like a job mm-hmm. and less like a hobby. And one of those things is editing this thing for hours on end. oftentimes in the middle of the work week or, you know, in lieu of other things that I could be doing with my time. So, you know,
Mike
for
has
myself,
put a lot of hours into editing, and yeah. I don't know that people appreciate how much time goes into it. And I know that Mike and I are going to learn to appreciate in the moment how much work he's put in, because we've already given ourselves a pep talk about like not belching and just being, you know, keeping the conversation going. We're going to try to do this like a live stream. Yeah. And I feel like so many of our peer podcasters out there have gone to the live stream video. We don't want to do video. We're not there. We're not gonna. But I feel like that's just kind of a gives us permission at some level to relax and not care quite so much. And I don't know. I don't think y'all are gonna notice too much rawness. What is it, like a Disney movie where he's like, I likes it raw? Oh, I think it's the 1980s Hobbit animated feature.
Oh, wow.
It's the goblins.
That's a deep
when hole. when they've got Bilbo and the dwarves. Yeah, that's what's coming to mind there. So anyway,
see, folks, this is where I would usually be seeking out and inserting a little audio drop there. I'd find that quote from The Hobbit and I'd drop it in here. Now, sometimes, like, if it absolutely has to happen, I imagine there will be a Star Wars quote at some point where it's like, oh, we got to put that in there. Mm. But, yeah.
You were the chosen one!
Right. So, yeah, so you're also going to hear all of my stupid takes, in which I confuse, like, a defensive player for an offensive player. I think that's happened before, but you never heard it because I edited it out. So
guys, he thought Bill Callahan was the coach for the last 7 years.
Yeah, I was like, Mike Riley? I thought that Bill just went on a diet. maybe I should have edited that, but anyway.
yeah, but, you know, I have to say one. So yeah, we're going to streamline. I think I've kind of described it to Mike and others as like the acoustic set version of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. You know, stripped down, bare, fewer accoutrements.
It's the VH1 Storytellers Unplugged, if you're a fellow millennial listening to this. You remember that Dashboard Confessional album, like where he's like, I'm playing at MTV Studios. That's us. Or perhaps if you're a Gen Xer, the Nirvana Unplugged album. So
I do want to say thank you. There's been a lot of people, especially as we've gotten closer and closer to the season, who have reached out,
right,
via Twitter. You know, people we've never met in person, over social media, friends, family members. When you guys gonna record? Come on, you guys got to record. So
that's and I've actually ignored them all.
That's been really encouraging. So thank you to the many people who've reached out and offered encouragement. And I'd say for me personally, like that was a big reason to keep going. Is there's, you know, it's as much as I like talking to Mike and then also talking to my wife and family about the Huskers, it's fun to know that you guys out there listen and like to interact with us. I think we are going to have a lighter footprint on social media too. But, you know, we still want to interact with all of our friends that we've made through the last 7 years. It's a great community, and so that's another reason we're going to keep going here.
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is that we both have a desire for this to be a fun hobby for ourselves
again. Yeah,
we don't have any delusions of turning this into a brand. Not to say that, you know, other people who are pursuing that with whatever their
thing is, to each their own.
Yeah, for us, though, we just want to hang out and talk Husker football. I mean, this really did stem originally from me and Justin just kind of texting each other during games and kind of saying, like, man, we're already talking about this stuff all the time. Why don't we just turn on a microphone? And so that's really what this season will be. It's going to be, I guess, in the purest sense, what we originally envisioned this podcast to be, which is we're just two friends chatting about the game after it happens, you know?
so to kind of start to transition us away from this conversation and into the game time, I would say that this last year, the football season was really rough and we kind of kept going. And I've just, as my family has grown, we haven't had any kids recently, but, you know, kids are getting older. There's four of them. When we started, Mandy and I just had one, an infant, and there's four of them, and, you know, got more stuff going on in my personal life, you know, just a lot. There's a lot going on as we encroach upon the 40-year-old threshold.
Oh, I started a new job in the spring, too, so that's also kind of why I was ready to press pause on things for a little while.
I just feel like, for me, at this point in my life, I don't know if it's a midlife reassessment or a quarter life or some, you know, what's in the middle there, a third life, but, like, you just got to put your time where you want to put it. You know, you got to be really intentional about that. And, you know, if you can make these decisions in your teens and 20s, it's, you know, all the more power to you. But I think there's just a lot of value to being intentional and saying, this is how I want to spend my time. And I want to be doing the things that bring me joy. And I want to be with the people who bring me joy. And if, you know, if there's an activity that at the end of the day is just like crushing my soul, I don't want to do it. So all that to say, if things take a really nasty turn with this season, I don't think they will, but you know, we might not be committed to doing an episode. But, and on the same line, to continue that thought, you know, if there's people that don't want to be with you, you know what, you got to move on. do what's fun, do what's meaningful, and be with the ones who want to be with you.
So this is a podcast about football.
How many times did you puke this week, Mike?
Okay, let's talk about that. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it was advisable for Scott Frost to say that.
Yeah.
But I think we all know what he was trying to say, right? I think social media has, what was it, that player in Maryland a couple years ago who died at a practice. But, I mean, that was like, wasn't that like a severe heat stroke and there was all kinds of, I don't know. I don't want to compare what Scott Frost is doing against anybody else. But, I mean, like, there are safety protocols in place. I think, in a sense, he's just trying to say, like, yeah, we're rough and tough.
Yeah.
Like it used to be.
He was looking for some sort of way to make that point. And Scott's never been, I mean, he's what, is this his fifth year now? He's not the best with the media. He can get his point across. But that's not where he shines.
He's not a PR pro.
No, so, you know, I don't think he intended to make some statement that was going to get him in hot water, and I don't think it did get him in hot water. I think and he said in his press conference today, he's like, of course I was exaggerating a bit. We don't push kids to that. And you can't do that in the 21st century. In 2022, you can't push kids to puke that much. Like, they'll quit. And also, like, you're going to get sued. They're not doing, and there's of course footage of everything because all the practices are recorded. So, I mean, it's just not happening. Otherwise there would have already been some sort of scandal. So anyway, I'm excited for this game. I'm excited for this season. I feel like it, I feel like they've flipped so many of the weaknesses from last year. Coming into the Illinois game last year, they talked a big game about all the changes that they had made that they needed to make, and then it turned out they hadn't made any of them.
Right.
And the fact that there's actually been people fired and that he said today Whipple's going to be calling plays from the sideline, the fact that Whipple's calling the plays, the fact that we got new specialists, Bill Bush is pounding specialists in practice, that is just pounding, like, that we need to be excellent in the kicking game. And I'm excited, and I'm a lot more cautious with my excitement than I've been, but I'm excited. It took me a while to get excited, but
sure,
I am there now.
Sure. I think with the special teams talk, I'm excited because if it were a cause for concern, they just wouldn't even be talking about it. I think they'd be just kind of like, we're just doing the work we need to do. But they've actually said some pretty positive stuff about specifically the kicking and the punting and being more aggressive in general with special teams. I'm excited about that. I want to see that. I think last year we saw a team that was so afraid of getting in the way of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having some time to reflect on last year, in hindsight, I think that was really kind of the narrative of the whole season. Was the whole season, the team was scared, the coaches were scared, the fan base was scared.
Yeah.
And it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, to the point of ridiculousness. So, I don't know. There does seem to be an optimism heading into this season from the players and coaches that we did not see last year. I think that there is a marked difference.
Well, and it just helps that you've had so much of that change that we were just talking about. I mean, that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm cautiously optimistic about the season. I'm also excited. You know, during the spring game, the one episode we recorded this year, I think I was kind of like, I didn't think Casey Thompson looked that great. Well, apparently he had this hand surgery since then, and it's made a huge difference. Like, it was still a big deal. It sounds like his throwing hand was just mangled.
Really?
And so he's way more confident. The team's way more confident. The coaching staff's way more confident in him. And he doesn't have the physical characteristics that made it so that you could, the coaching staff felt like they could justify running Adrian so much. Like, this guy's like 3 inches shorter and at least 30 pounds lighter. So, you know, he's under 200 pounds. So if they run him even a half of what they ran Adrian, he's just going to die. Like, he's, if he'll be wishing he could have his jaw wired shut, it's going to be bad. So they can't do that. And, man, people are, that's the off season. Of course, people seem really like high on the running backs. I'm not sure. The offensive line to me is the biggest, like, unknown, how good that is. The defensive line went from being a question mark to a plus. Like, it's stacked. And, man, there's a lot of talent on the defense. I think it's really telling that we have three defenders and one offensive player as captains, because I think the defense, especially in the first half of the season, really needs to carry this team while the offense finds its groove. Because you don't just install an offense with all new leadership in an off season and it's clicking. If it's clicking on Saturday, like, immediately, like, this could be an amazing season.
Sure.
But I just don't think that's what happens.
It's funny to me that we're talking about how this could be an amazing season. I've got pulled up in front of me the Nebraska versus Northwestern page on ESPN. Showing Nebraska's last five and Northwestern's last five. Not a win between either teams.
Holy moly.
That's 10 football games and 10 losses between the two teams.
Yes, but all of ours were close.
Yeah, that's sure. Sure. But man, oh man, that's the scary thing about Northwestern. That's the scary thing about just like it being the whole Ireland thing. And real quick, I just want to point out there was there's an ad on a local radio station here in Omaha all spring about taking a trip to Dublin, Ireland. Every single time I heard that commercial, I listened closely. It's like, did he say Dublin? And he said Dublin.
You've been Dublin.
Anyway, I'm complaining about something that
you've been waiting to get that off your chest for a while.
From 6 months ago. But anyway, yeah, no, just in general, the scary thing with Northwestern is they always seem to, like, even the times where we eventually pull away and beat Northwestern by a considerable margin, there's always that, like, oh no, they've come ready for us this time. I feel, and we've talked about it before on the podcast, Northwestern shows up for Nebraska in a way that they don't show up for other teams. Not last year, but yeah.
Yeah, I look at this Northwestern team, and we didn't do our season previews, so we didn't talk to the guys from Northwestern. So I got to confess, I don't know nearly as much about our football team as I have in previous falls, and I don't know hardly anything about our opponents as compared to last year.
Sure.
But what I do know is they've lost. I don't know that they've gotten any better. Talent-wise. Now, the players and the coaching staff were, of course, very complimentary today of the opponent, but and it's Fitzgerald, so he's been around forever, and he knows a thing or two about coaching football. But I just don't think this is any better of a team than the one that we smoked last year. Mm. And for whatever reason, everything worked out for us last year. It feels highly unlikely that in game one, everything works out. I think Whipple made a comment that lots of times whoever wins in week one or week zero is the team that makes the fewer mistakes. So I think it's interesting. Casey Thompson in his press conference today was talking about being a perfectionist. I would say he's proud of being a perfectionist. If I was working like someone on my team at work, if someone was a professed perfectionist, like that might be a hard person to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of makes me a little bit worried. I understand that in the world of Division I college football, you're supposed to eat, sleep, and breathe and football and everything. You know, there's nothing else but football. But I'm curious to see how that serves him. So maybe we make a lot fewer mistakes because we have a perfectionist at quarterback. Or maybe he's an unbearable person because he's a perfectionist. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. He's not a captain.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, but you don't have to be. Tommy Armstrong, I don't think he was ever a captain, right? Am I right on that?
I'm not sure.
We're not going to edit, so we'll just, let's not, we won't pause it and look it up and then come back and act confident about it. We'll just all live with the unknown and someone else can Google it and tweet it at us.
Somebody can tweet at us. Somebody can call in. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing a reaction line this year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Runza, for many, many years of support.
Yeah. Thank you to Runza. The decision not to do the reaction line has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with what we were talking about.
We called up Runza and they, you know, I don't want to use the word beg, but you know, they were very insistent that we continue. And we said, look, we need to go in a different direction.
I will say this. The one thing for me personally that came out of that sponsorship that kind of like changed the way I do Runza is I found out about the cheeseburger Runza. Not the cheese Runza, but the cheeseburger Runza is one of my go-tos now. And that's something I tried out just because we featured it on the podcast.
Yeah, that tour of the menu, that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a unique experience. Shout out to Runza.
Right. Anywho. Yeah. So... looking at the ESPN FPI, the Football Power Index, it's got Nebraska at a 78.7 chance of victory. And they're predicting us to win by about 13, almost two touchdowns. So
I want it to be good. Boring in the second half. I want that soccer field to be tired and... Everybody goes out to enjoy the town.
Hey, did you read that article that was getting passed around last week about like, hey, let's recount everything, every skeleton in Nebraska's closet from the last 30
it was like
years.
In the Irish Times or whatever, written by from somebody who lives in Long Island and doesn't actually live in Ireland. Yeah, I read that.
My favorite comment on Reddit when that got posted, I think one of the top comments was like, I feel like somebody just Googled Nebraska football bad and they just pulled everything together that they could find from the first page.
I mean, yeah, if you want to pull together all the worst things about any program, mm-hmm. like you could read a lot of terrible things, you know. Thank goodness. Well, anyway, I don't want to start dragging litany of other things, but I mean,
right.
You write down the worst things about every school. It's going to be a pretty bad article, and that's pretty much what they did.
Yeah.
And it was stupid. I don't know what that guy, like... I remember... Well, maybe I shouldn't tell that story. I remember meeting someone for the first time. I won't say where, who, or why. And the first thing this person said to me when I said I was from Nebraska was like, oh, yeah, Lawrence Phillips.
Oh, jeez.
And...
wow.
That's like all I think of. I don't have to even see this person. When I hear this person's name, that's what I think of. I'm like,
yeah,
what a jerk. Why? Yeah. Why?
It's almost like the way us Americans divide ourselves over politics, you know?
Careful here.
Somebody says that they're one side or the other, and it's like, oh, yeah, I know everything about you.
Like, you know, like some people say,
I know all the worst things about you that my folks told me to hate you for.
Some people say, I only like Weird Al before Running with Scissors. And other people say, well, no, Running with Scissors is when Weird Al started. And, you know, then you got. Did you ever see that SNL skit about Weezer?
Yes. Yep. It's great. And way more accurate than.
I was trying to make a similar joke there, but.
No, I hear what you're saying. The funny thing about the Weezer skit is that even like on like I talk about Reddit. I spend a lot of time on Reddit for better or worse. But the Weezer subreddit was there. Like one of the things was like Weezer fans. Well, I mean, people say it about Star Wars, too. The people who hate Weezer the most are the Weezer fans, you know.
Oh,
so
I feel like Twitter, which I'm trying to spend less time on, has this running gag now that the people who hate Nebraska fans the most are Nebraska fans.
I don't get that sense.
I'm just tired of people. Here's when I decided that I was going to spend significantly less time on Twitter as a Husker fan, was I tweeted something about how I was excited to see Adrian Martinez have a successful season at Kansas State. Geez. And I think 2/3 of the comments were very negative towards him. And what's wrong with you people? Like, this has just got to be the worst of the worst. Like, what is wrong with, how can you not want this kid to be successful? I don't care for Kansas State, but I want him to be successful.
I think it's a byproduct of, we have more access to players now than ever. And he was pretty straightforward about how he was mistreated by a lot of people. And I think that he was. He probably had a lot of people be an absolute nightmare to him, making his life miserable as the quarterback for Nebraska. And I think, though, that you could probably, you know, if Tommy Armstrong had a podcast, if Taylor Martinez had a podcast, we'd probably hear a lot of the same things from those
guys. If Harrison Beck had a podcast, didn't he? Wasn't he, like, unhinged and crazy?
I just liked his, like, Uncle Rico-style Twitter videos that he was posting a couple years ago. He was like, look how far I could throw a football. I was like, yep, good job.
He needed help, I think.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Anyway, we're not professional psychiatrists, folks, so
I feel like every other podcast I listen to would right now be like, BetterHelp.
Oh gosh.
Promo code.
Hey, have you been feeling down lately?
You know, through the pandemic, I just, you know, wasn't myself, and I just needed, sometimes you need someone to talk to.
Oof. There's so many, like, ethical questions about conjuring up mental health issues in order to sell a mental health product. But that's a whole different podcast, I think. So,
Mike, we got two things that I know we wanted to talk about. We got SP Plus and the schedule. What should we do next?
Let's do SP Plus.
Okay. I've got so as a reminder of where we finished last year, we finished the season 38th overall. Our offense was 34th overall. Defense, 25th overall. I mean, that's like, it's almost a top 25 team. Special teams was 127. And I don't remember if there was 127, 128, or 129 teams, but, you know, whatever. You're scraping the bottom right there.
That's ridiculous.
So that, you know, that's huge. That's just huge. Yeah. It's 1/3 of the score. Mm-hmm. So they don't have special teams rankings just yet because it's preseason. They're mostly, they're just looking at the overall and the offense and defense, and they're looking at who you brought back, and your schedule, and what kind of talent you got. So we began the season in SP Plus week 0 overall 44th, our offense 53, our defense 33.
Okay.
And Northwestern is overall 89, offense 107, defense 60.
That's like one more than twice as bad as us.
Good job. That was quick.
Yeah, I can do maths.
Yeah. So we will, even with our stripped down acoustic set format, I think that's still something we're going to track because that's always something that's been interesting to me.
It's an objective metric by which we can kind of monitor the team's progress throughout
the year. Mike, I really believe it. We're going to be in double digits this year. We're not going to be in triple digits. I really believe.
Think so?
Single digits maybe would be a nice goal. Would be a goal.
Yeah.
You know, shoot for the stars, and when you miss, you hit the moon, or other way around.
I think it's shoot for the moon, and even if you miss,
you'll hit the stars.
You'll still get cheese.
But I mean,
everybody likes cheese.
The stars are so spread out. The odds of like missing the moon and hitting a star, they seem pretty slim.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to go a long way. You're gonna be dead.
Well, eventually, like, the universe curves back in on itself. So if you wait long enough, everything will kind of compress back into a singularity, and then there will be a second expansion of the universe. And that's when Doctor Strange comes in, I think.
Felt like that's where you were going.
Yeah, I don't know. I finally watched Multiverse of Madness like a week ago.
I've been trying to catch up on Marvel movies and shows because I just took a break, and
I'm not watching them in the theaters anymore because I can wait 3 months and watch them on Disney Plus. Right. So anyway.
I watched, the most recent thing I watched was the What If, cartoon series on Disney Plus, and I gotta say it was actually very fun, very enjoyable.
I only watched the first one of those. But.
There is a cumulative effect to those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So keep rolling. Right. They're only 30 minutes or less, which is my jam. Okay. So I don't. Was there anything else aside from like walking through the schedule? Was there anything we wanted to say to our listeners?
Earlier you were mentioning how people had reached out to us, and I kind of like jokingly mentioned that I've been ignoring them all. Here's the thing, everybody. I do appreciate those of you who have reached out to me directly. And I have ignored you, but, that's something I tend to do. And B, I wanted this to be a surprise. I thought if people were wondering if we were going to come back, wouldn't it be wonderful to just have our show show up in their feed this week unannounced? You know, I think that there's something fun about that. So, hi, everybody. Sorry I didn't text you back, but here it is. And Justin can attest to there are times where I say, hey, sorry, I didn't text you back, and there's no reason for it.
I think we've talked about on the show how bad you are at texting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might be a little better. I don't know.
So, no, it's not better.
How are you going to be in ministry and be bad at texting? People need you.
I've been for the last 2 months, I've been planning on texting an old friend to see how they're doing, and they finally had their baby. So, anyway, I guess they're doing well. The baby's healthy.
Yay, baby.
For what it's worth, I think it counts that I've been praying for that person actively. I just forgot to text them. I think at least there's something there, right? Like
next time you pray for them, text them. I just prayed for you.
But that's the thing. Like, do I have to tell somebody I'm praying for them?
No,
like,
but you've been looking for a reason to text this person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's more that like I think of it like super late at night, and then I'm like, I'll text them tomorrow, and then I forget for 2 days.
Can you do time tweet? Give yourself a reminder. Remind me tomorrow to text John Doe at a reasonable hour, 9 a.m.
Yep. Craig Nash Linus, if you're listening to this podcast, I had a reminder in my phone to text you on August 1st. So if you're hearing this, text me.
So Mike can ignore you.
Anyway. Oh, goodness.
Do you want to walk through the season?
Let's do it, man. Let's make our predictions.
All right. Game one, week zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's home away from home in Dublin.
I thought we were supposed to be visitors for that, weren't we?
I don't know what we are, but I figure there's going to be way more Huskers.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Now I see what you're saying.
This says 11:30. Shoot, I was telling people 11.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's fine. It's better to say noon and have it turn out to be 11:30.
That's true. All right, well, do you want to go first or me?
I got it as a win.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Okay.
We've already talked a bit about it. Game. I mean, they're not any... I don't think that team is any better than they were last year when we totally smoked them. I think it was a culmination of a lot of frustration for our team, taken out on someone who was ripe for that, but I don't expect a similar score.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to be stout defensively, and the question is how well we move the ball, but I think the defense is good enough to handle Northwestern, and that's what I got.
Sure.
All right, North Dakota.
I got that one as a win as well.
I do too. I don't know anything about North Dakota.
It's the Great White North, aka Southern Canada.
North Dakota State is
mm-hmm.
the FCS team that has been incredible for a long time, and Craig Bull was there for a long time. They won so many national championships, and they're kind of like, the 90s Huskers of the 90s in the last decade. I almost said Alabama, but I said no inside. I said, no, we're going to bring this back to Nebraska. So that's not who's coming to town. It's North Dakota, who I don't know a thing about, but I think we should win.
Sure. Well, for what it's worth, I did take a peek at the FPI, and it had them with a 1.6% chance of victory. So,
okay.
There you go.
I think that's maybe one of those days where we have three or four people rush for 100 yards, maybe?
Sure. That'd be nice.
All right. So, Georgia Southern.
I don't know, man. Georgia Southern, they're sneaky.
Yeah, I guess I don't really.
I got nothing.
I'm assuming you're joking.
It's a win.
Yeah, these are the easy ones. That's another win, yeah. Let's just skip ahead to Oklahoma.
Sure.
Oklahoma, this is the first big test, and we didn't do our preseason interview series, and I was totally fine with that. It's a lot of work. But the one conversation I did want to have was with the fella from Oklahoma who we talked to, because he had a bunch of questions for us about, man, what was it like to like leave the conference for money and then stink? Like, just, you know, their whole existence has been upended since we played them very closely last year. Their coach is gone. Their quarterback is gone. Who, that quarterback didn't even really play that when we played them. You know, whole new group. And they're coming here. If we can start strong against Northwestern and then just kind of keep tuning things up each week, I like our chances. What's FPI say? Do you have that in front of you?
Let me take a peek. Oklahoma. It's saying 60.5% chance of them defeating Nebraska. So, I mean, at this point in the season, that's pretty much as good as 50-50, if you ask me.
Sure. I don't know a thing about them other than everything they lost. What do you think?
I'll be honest. You were just convincing me to put it down as a win, but I had it as a loss. I hate to say it, but like if anything, it just kind of feels like the pattern that Nebraska has fallen into over the years is like, even if we start strong, eventually there's something that sneaks up on us, right? And also, if I don't have Oklahoma as a loss early in the season, that has us undefeated through 9 wins. So I feel
it could
like
happen.
Just to be reasonable, I'm going to say an L for Oklahoma.
All right. Well, then just to keep it interesting, I'll say a W.
Okay.
That could happen.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's just been enough overhaul, and if if Frost is truly not calling the plays, I really like the opportunity with a fresh quarterback, fresh faces all across the offense, plus some really established faces. I just feel like this could be a really good – I feel like this could be a surprisingly good team. So I'm going to go ahead and – I got really optimistic in the last 48 hours. I'll call it a W.
Sounds good.
Now we follow that up with a homecoming game. So this will be our fourth consecutive home game hosting Indiana.
After a bye.
After a bye, that's right.
Yeah. So I got that one as a win. Especially, man, if they can beat Oklahoma, they're going to be on fire for Indiana.
I really feel like
there's going to be some real talk about Nebraska if we're undefeated through Oklahoma.
You know, last year, the breakout surprise team was Michigan State because they had a bunch of transfers and they snuck up on people, especially in the first half of the season. And, you know, we would have beat them, but for that crazy punt, and their running back was a Heisman finalist, their transfer. We got 17 transfers. Maybe, who knows? Maybe we got a Heisman finalist out there. So, you know, I like what you're saying, Mike. I feel like we could be on a real roll here. Whether we're 3-1 or 4-0, I feel like we're on a roll. We've got a bye week. We've really, at this point in the season, we've been able to work out a lot of kinks. And so, I feel like this is a win. Indiana, I think, is taking a step back. I think. I don't know. Listen to Eyes on Big to no better, but I think that they're taking a step back. So I got that one as a W. And then it's a short week. So we have the bye week, and then we have right after that, we have a short week. We could play Friday, 6 p.m. in Rutgers.
That's a Friday night.
It's a Friday game, and I think Noah Vedral, is he going to be the quarterback for Rutgers? Is he healthy? I'm going to Google him while you talk about what you think is going to happen.
What I think might happen is I might miss that game.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be playing some acoustic gigs at Vala's on Friday nights in October. So, I guess I thought we were done with the Friday night thing, but it comes back to haunt us one more time.
What Halloween themed song will you do this year that will you add to the playlist?
Oh man. So there's been Zombie by the Cranberries, which is a good standby. That'll be part of the set this year. And I've done Monster Mash in the past with my band. Last year they didn't want to do Monster Mash, but I think that we do a pretty good job with it. acoustic, I might bring it out. And then of course there's the Ghostbusters theme. Well, that one's definitely better with the band, but I might figure out a.
So is it just you?
Yeah, for the Friday night gigs at Vala's, that'll be it. My band is playing there one time during the season, but the Friday night gigs are all acoustic for me in the Pie Barn. So.
Oh, you're inside. That's nice.
If you're at Vala's on a Friday night this fall, duck your head in the Pie Barn in the evening. Can have some pie and listen to some, I don't know, 90s covers along with some of my original stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Noah Vedral, Rutgers. Mm-hmm. If we're on the roll that I think we might be on, because why not? I'm going to put it as a W.
Sure.
Oh, man. Oh, man. This is funny. We don't know what we're talking about. Not that we ever did.
It's okay.
Okay.
We're not putting on airs anymore.
Yeah. Now we have a little bit of a longer week because that game's on Friday. Now we go to Purdue, mm-hmm. which I feel like Purdue is a trendy pick to surprise people or maybe be as successful as expected and win the West or make a run at the West.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna call this one a loss.
Okay. I will always pick Purdue as a win because I find it insulting when they beat us. And that all stems from the first time we played them in the bin. So, yeah, I've got that one as a win.
Purdue has been such a weird game. I know we lots of times talk about the weird matchups against Northwestern, but Purdue, like their field, like they don't care. As I remember, we've had several guys have season-ending injuries because their field is crap.
Yeah.
And like, do they care? I don't know. I mean, I know the coach and the players care, but does anybody else care at Purdue about the football team? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it.
ESPN's got it pretty much as a 50-50. They got Purdue at 51.3%.
Okay. So,
yeah. But they do have it as a Purdue win, so you might be onto something.
Okay. Then we come back home after another bye week. I think we got market to market. In the bye week there.
Oh, nice.
Yep, and we host Illinois. I'm calling that one a win. I'm really still quite angry about that game last year.
They are not going to come to our house in late October after a bye week and beat us. That's not happening this year.
We're not going to throw the ball out of the end zone for a safety. We're not going to – or take a knee or whichever he did. He might have done both. We're not going to drop the ball for a scoop and score. We're not. What other crazy things did we do that day? Oh, now Captain Caleb Tanner is not going to sack the quarterback and like pile drive him into the ground after the whistle for two personal fouls, turning a, I think it was maybe an interception or something, into a 30-yard gain, allowing them to score. Those things aren't going to happen. We're going to win. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I got to just win.
Okay. Minnesota, that's a tough one. Minnesota has had our number for a little while now. A lot of these teams in the Big Ten West have had our number, but they're just so bland and consistent, and Scott just has not been able to call consistent enough plays when things are working. I feel like he's panicked. I'm so excited that he's not calling plays. I feel like he's a great offensive mind, and he can help build a scheme, and he can give insight to Whipple. But Whipple, I'm looking to be a steady hand who can say, Scott, we've talked about this. Scotty. So, but that's a tough one. I'll probably say loss just because I've been saying win so much. Mm-hmm. What about you?
That one is a win.
Okay.
Again, that's a spiteful one for me. I find their coach insufferable.
Did he have some plastic surgery in the off season or something? I feel like there's been a thing where it's like his face looks really different, and people are like, "That's not PJ Fleck."
Maybe it's it could be like a Mark Hamill thing. So I don't want to comment on it.
Yeah, I think there was probably a reason, like a health related reason, as opposed to I want to look more beautiful.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. So.
Okay, well, stay tuned.
We'll update you in November, folks.
No, I'm sure it'll be in the news. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's probably old news by now. Away at Michigan, man, I think they're going to be really good, and I think we can probably push them, and they might not expect it, but hey, we took them to the wire last year. Could have, should have won that one last year. I'm going to put it down as an L because it's away.
Yeah, same. I did have an interesting, I don't know, I'll say just a robust disagreement with one of my students this morning. I discovered is a Michigan fan, and he insists that Michigan would have beaten Nebraska in 1997.
Well, that's just wrong.
And it's funny to me because somebody in the room, one of my other students, said, I'm just going to go with the person who was actually alive in 1997 and what they have to say about it. I was like, that's right.
Pulling the age card.
Here I am talking trash about one of my students on my podcast.
Old man Harvett.
It's okay. It does not affect the way I view you as a person, but as a fan, we are mortal enemies.
All right. Home. So yeah, look at this stretch. The last November, host Minnesota, go to Michigan, host Wisconsin, go to Iowa. That is a gauntlet.
Yep.
And
say gauntlet at the same time. It's almost like we've been podcasting together 7 years.
Wisconsin home, Iowa away. Let's just pick them in tandem.
Okay.
What do you think?
I got, we talked about Michigan, right? I got an L for that. I got an L for Wisconsin, but it's because I have a W for Iowa.
I know. I'm kind of thinking the same way. Like, let me divvy up my wins and losses here.
Hope springs eternal for us finally to get that monkey off our back.
The thing is with
that feral, obnoxious monkey that won't shut up.
We were so close last year, and things just kind of crumbled. Yeah. And I got to think special teams shaping up makes a huge difference this year. It would have made a huge difference last year for Iowa. So I also have that as a W. I don't know. Wisconsin, that's a tough one. I can see coming off a very physical, potentially close loss at Michigan. I can see a little bit of a hangover from that. And maybe also looking ahead to Iowa. I'll put that as an L too. Mm. So that being said, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 3 for Mike. And
I got Frank Solich firing numbers.
We fire lots of coaches for 9 wins.
Well, I mean, either way, slice it. Both you and I expect a bowl game this year.
So I have 8-4. You have 9-3. Pretty off the cuff here. Interestingly, I have us starting out 6-0 and then finishing the season 3-3, which could be a tough way to go. But even if we lose 3 of the last 6, if we end the season at 8-4, have a month to heal up and go to the first bowl,
I'd be through the moon
in my children's lifetime.
Through the roof, over the moon. I don't know about through the moon.
Cheese? That would be a great step in the right direction. We don't have to fire Scott. Volleyball wins a national championship.
We don't have to fire Scott.
Nobody wants him to get fired.
What a way to word that. Yeah.
I take that back. There's some people who want him fired, but... Not us. Not the Husker Football Fan Podcast here in season 8.
You speak for us. You speak for... dumbheads.
Whoa. Family podcaster.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're getting raw.
All right. Mike, Is there anything else we should talk about here?
Oh, man. See, this is the part of the show that usually Justin and I end up talking for like another half hour, and then I edit it down to 3 minutes because we go down so many rabbit trails.
We've had a few good ones tonight. Yeah.
No, I would say thank you again to everybody for sticking with us. Like, if you stayed subscribed and we just randomly appeared for you, it means so much that you didn't just kind of say, well, I guess those guys just hung up their hats, you know, they called it a day or whatever. No, we're back and just looking forward to this being what it was always meant to be. If you could only see a video feed of Justin and I right now, we are both relaxed. We both have our arms up behind our heads.
Mm.
This is the way it should be.
I've got my Husker Pod cut out here from the COVID season.
Right.
Our cut out.
It looks like a baby bottle. What was with that?
A silhouette of some sort.
Yeah, it was them
Russian nesting doll.
Yeah, it was them being lazy about actually like form cutting people's photos.
Yeah.
You know, that's supposed to be the spot for the head, I guess, at the top of there. That little
I dog. Guess. Yeah. Whatever. Well, hey, Mike, it's been good talking to you, and I look forward to talking with you for the next 12 weeks, 8, 16 weeks, 20 weeks.
Something like that.
Pending success.
And that's a good good question is, what do we do with off bye weeks this year? Do we do trivia show? We haven't done a trivia show in a while. Maybe bring that back. Maybe it's finally time. We have been talking for 7 years, folks, about doing like just a random episode about like what movies have you been watching or what books have you been reading, that kind of thing. Maybe we go off the beaten path, have a little bonus episode on a bye week.
Have you seen anything interesting recently aside from the Star Wars movie, or excuse me, the Marvel movies we were talking about?
Let me take a peek here. There's something I watched recently that I thought was pretty good. Where are you? Pulling up the old Letterboxd.
Yeah, it's a good resource.
It was introduced to me by none other than Justin L. Swanson.
I was going to say, that was me.
Oh yeah. The new Batman. That was
I forgot
was
about
pretty
that.
Good.
I never saw it.
It kind of got me back into Batman, just in general. I think I recommend it. It's longer than it needs to be.
Oh man, that is my pet peeve.
But the thing that I like about it is, I would say for roughly 90% of the movie, Batman is in his Batman suit.
Okay.
It isn't like half the movie of like, come on, Bruce, you need to put on airs that you're a playboy. You know, like there's not that garbage. It's like, he's like, I'm Batman. I'm beating up baddies. Well, there isn't quite as much of that going on either. I really like kind of the world that they have seeded Batman in. I think it's probably a little bit more true to the comics. But also, it's right in the pocket of it's really rough around the edges without going too far. I think rated R comic book movies is the stupidest thing ever. I think that people have gone, like, starting with Logan a few years back, like, I've said this a million times, nobody needs to see Wolverine's claws go through somebody's brains. Like, I don't need to see that. He can be as vicious as ever, and I don't need to see that, right? And so I feel like a lot of movies, like the new Suicide Squad, my brother's told me, like, I think he said he's just stopped watching it because he was like, I don't want to watch this garbage. I don't. And so I actually was not even going to watch the new Batman movie because I thought it was going to be rated R.
Hmm.
And then when I found out it was PG-13, I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, I thought they did a good job of like kind of allowing Batman to be a brutal vigilante without going over the top with it. So, yeah.
It's a good synopsis. I'll definitely check it out one of these days. I'm having a hard time squeezing in movies at this point in my life.
Mm.
So I'm going back through my Letterboxd. And
unless they're children's movies, right?
Unless they're children's movies, yeah. And when we were at my in-laws in Chicago, I always loved to go to their library and they have a great old movie selection. Okay. And I picked up The Magnificent Ambersons from 1942, which is, I think it's Orson Welles' second movie. Of course, Citizen Kane is first? I don't know. It was one of his early movies, and it's very dramatically shot. Of course, black and white. It's the basis for The Royal Tenenbaums, Wes Anderson's movie, which is one of my favorite movies. And the first half of the movie is very, you can see how it inspired The Royal Tenenbaums, but then it gets a lot darker, and lots of things go wrong for the Magnificent Ambersons. And then the very last scene, it's like the whole thing's on this downward spiral. And then the last scene, not to say too much, but it kind of goes up at this kind of weirdly happy ending. And it's like, what? So then I got on Wikipedia, and apparently it was originally a half an hour or 45 minutes longer. And it was, you know, his movie, Orson Welles' movie. And then right when he wrapped it, he went on vacation, and the studio went in and like took the last half hour and junked it and made a happy ending. And they apparently like destroyed the footage. So no one knows, he knows how it's supposed to end, but nobody else knows. And so, I don't know if it was necessarily a fun movie to watch because it is a downer, but it was really interesting. And it was, right away I was like, that something's going on here. And
so you
sure enough, there was quite the backstory. So it's always interesting with Orson Welles. So that is maybe the most interesting thing I saw in the last month or so.
It's cool.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to watching some classic monster movies this year. I recently picked up on sale a box set of all of the classic Universal monster films.
Oh, wow.
So all, like, every Mummy movie, every Dracula, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, all that. So
I'm laughing right now because when we watch movies as a family, if there's a really tense moment, my son, who's six, he'll be like, everybody's going to die. He'll just, I think it's like his coping mechanism. They're going to die. Everybody's going to die. Like, no, this is a kid's movie. That's not what's going to happen. Hang in there.
It's going to be okay.
It's just so like, it's so consistent. Like,
at least he feels free to express that aloud, you know? Like, at least he's not bottling that in.
It surprises me when it comes out, but then immediately it doesn't. But everybody's going to die.
That's great. Should we name our episode that? No, we won't. We won't.
Yeah,
that's a terrible name for our comeback episode.
Don't call it a comeback?
Yeah, that entered my brain as soon as I said that.
All right.
Or maybe we should call it a comeback.
Maybe we should call it a comeback.
Hey. Hey, everybody. May the force be with you.
Go Big Red, Mike.
Go Big Red. Sorry, wrong podcast.
Yeah.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.